Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Thursday, February 28th, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 11 of Bill's story, starting with the fourth paragraph, Had This Power Originated in Him? And we'll be unpacking that paragraph only. The readers, today's readers are the 12 Steps, Rachel P., the 12 Traditions, Libby E. Readers of the text are Ellen D., Robin Jo B., and Pia S. And the share ID for Wednesday, February 27th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,597. That's 12597. And for this morning's meeting, Thursday, February 28th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,601. That's 12601. And our newcomer greeter will be Melanie C. OA Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Rachel P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning, fellows. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service this month, I pass.
Thank you, Rachel P., and I will now ask Libby E. to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Mo. Good morning. I'm Libby E. I'm a compulsive eater in New York. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except the matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Libby E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 11 in Bill's story, the fourth paragraph down. Had this power originated in him, and we'll be unpacking that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Alan D. to begin to get us started. Thank you, Alan.
Hi, this is Alan D., recovered in Texas. Had this power originated in him? Obviously, it had not. There had been no more power in him than there was in me at that moment, and this was none at all. Wow, short little paragraph. This is Ellen D., recovered in Texas, gratefully for today. And this reminds me of my need to know and really understand that there's no power in me at all. And, I needed to be out of ideas. I needed to know and, totally believe to my core that I had met my match, that food was my master, and that I got to see that self-knowledge didn't work and willpower didn't work and being on guard didn't work. My history showed me repeatedly that I had no power. I started listening to Vision for You in February of 2017, and I remember hearing fellows talking about being recovered and being free from the obsession, and day after day after day they were saying this, and I thought, oh my goodness, I want what these people have. And they weren't saying that the power was from themselves, but from a power greater than themselves. And I got a sponsor and worked the steps and recovered. So thankful for that. And now I have God's power. Like on page 84 and 85, where it talks about a place of neutrality and a new attitude given to me. I mean, that's a power. And the problem removed and a daily reprieve. And I just sometimes think I should pinch myself, is this really happening? But it is happening, and now I get to help others, and it's just a wonderful way of life, and I'm so, so grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Ellen D. So just remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 11, fourth paragraph, had this power originated in him, and we'll be unpacking that paragraph only. And I will now take names of those who'd like to share.
PIS in Florida.
Gotcha.
Gina R.
Dossie P.
Was that Gina R?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't get who was after Gina.
Dossie P.
Dossie?
Yep.
Okay. Got it.
Tracy K.
Casey K.
Kelly T.
Kelly T.
Roz G.
Roz G. One more. Okay, we'll stop there. I got Pia S, Gina R, Dosi P, Casey K, Kelly T, Roz G. Pia.
Can I offer Kathy C, or are you stopping? I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
No, I'll put you down, Kathy. Okay, Kathy C. You'll be the last one here on this first group. All right, thank you, Kathy. Pia S, will you start us off here?
I will. Thank you so much. Thank you for your service. This is Pia S, recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. And the sentence, "Had this power originated in him," struck me today. Had this power originated in me? No. No, it didn't. It works through me and from the inside out, but it's not my power. I remember when I first got in to program and I got recovered and down to a healthy body weight, my friends and my family would, they would praise me and, tell me how well I'd done and, thinking that I did this on my own, but I can't take the credit for it. If I had had that level of power, I'd been in a healthy body weight years ago. I'd stopped eating compulsively years ago, and I also had treated people around me better years ago. Why wouldn't I? And that's because I didn't know I was sick bodily and mentally and spiritually. I didn't know about OA, and I didn't know that by working the 12 steps, I would get access to this power, that I would get a spiritual awakening, and I would get a power that would be there for me in every aspect of my life. But I had to humble myself to listen to the people that had gone before me and to take action. And I take action every morning from the minute I wake up. I communicate with God all through the day. But I don't do any of this work perfectly. But I take action, and I don't let the need for perfection stop me anymore. I just trudge this road with all of you every day. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Pia S. Gina R., followed by Dossie P. Gina.
Hey, Mo. Good morning. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And I live in Green Valley, Arizona. The word here that really jumps out for me is originated in him. And I agree with what it says. Obviously, it had not originated in him. But that doesn't mean that I don't have willpower. And that's what has gotten me into trouble, is I took my willpower and tried to turn it into the real power, R-E-A-L. And that was the delusional thinking I had for so many years. And the reason it was, it ultimately ended up being delusional is because for a while it worked. I learned early on that I could figure things out and get ahead of people with respect to doing what I was supposed to do and taking care of things before other people even knew there was a need. And that's how I learned how to survive. That's how I learned how to not get hurt. And so I had many examples in my life of where it appeared that I had some power over people. And so it's very seductive. I know now that the power does not originate in me, but it's my responsibility to understand that I do have a measure of willingness. And the book talks about our willpower, and it's on page, hold on, let me find it. It's on page 85, and it says, "We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will." And basically what it's talking about there is carrying the vision of God's will into all of our activities. So until I was able to set aside my delusional thinking that I had real power and then aligned with God's power, my willpower, it was only then that I was able to get relief from the seemingly hopeless state of mind and body I was in, because I couldn't control everything. And for me, this really boils down to I've got an addiction to control. And I use food, work, people, places, things, ideas, thoughts to control. And until I was able to set that aside and really let God just have the power that God has and then exercise my will along that, I wasn't able to find the relief I have today. So grateful to be here, and thank you for letting me share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Gina R. Dossie P., followed by Casey K.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, great. Okay. Hey, everyone. Yeah, I actually was just sharing on this topic for the night. You know, it's so important for me to remember this, you know, to take step one and step two, because, you know, I can get recovered and get neutrality and things can be great, and then life can get hard and scary. And my impulse is to want to take back that power and to take back the wheel. And that doesn't work for me anymore because it leads me to food. So I have to remember every day that there's this power that gives me grace, you know, because my amnesia helps me to forget very easily the kind of misery and despair I was in when I was in the food. I was so desperate. All I wanted was for my compulsive eating to end. And so when I got recovered, I was so blissful and great. And then all of a sudden my mind like loved to start obsessing about everything else and worrying about everything else. And that's why it's so important in this program that we have to practice it every day, because that obsession can then lead us back to where we were. So, you know, I really am making a choice every day based on the freedom that I've already been given and based on the experience of my fellows to keep trusting. And as I do that, more and more miracles happen, more and more growth happens. And, you know, I can go into grocery stores or be in situations with food where in the past I either would have had absolutely no or I would have been white knuckling it the entire time, and I can be at peace there now. And that's definitely not me, you know. I tried every which way, and so I stopped trying to analyze how it works. I know it does work, and also just to know that, you know, for anyone on the line who has questions about spiritual beliefs, that, you know, what that power is up to you. You don't have to believe in any particular type of power. It's just a power greater than yourself, and all you need is the willingness to start out. You don't even need to know for sure what that is. You just need the willingness. And yeah, that's all I have to share. I have so much gratitude today. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Dossie P. And I think I was miscalling you. I think it's Tracy K.
Yes,
you're next, followed by Kelly T. Thank you, Tracy. I was calling you Casey, but Tracy.
Hi, this
you're
is
on.
Tracy K. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Canada. I was really just so grateful to read this morning because it's something that I need to remember every single day. And it's not something that I need to just remember. It's something I need to fully concede to my innermost self. When I first came into program, I heard about powerlessness and that I was powerless over food. And I was able to understand that intellectually. But it took a long time and a lot of hard experience before I really conceded to my innermost self all the way through that I could not control my food and that I would never be able to control my food and I was absolutely powerless. I'm also really grateful because as time has gone on, I realize more and more that it's not just the food that I'm powerless over. And I'm powerless over so many things in my life and trying to exert my will over things that I'm powerless over ultimately just leads back to the food. And I'm thinking of the bedevilments. I was having trouble with relationships. I couldn't control my personal natures, my nature. I was always anxious, and I always tried so hard to change myself so that I tried to do things so I wouldn't be anxious, tried to be happier, tried to work on relationships, and ultimately it never went anywhere, and I was always frustrated. But I find that now the deeper my acceptance of my powerlessness goes and the deeper of my commitment to my higher power goes, the better my entire life goes. So I'm really grateful because I need to hear this every day, that there's no more power in anyone else than in me, and we need a higher power to help us live. I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tracy K. Kelly T, followed by Roz G. Kelly?
Good morning. This is Kelly T from New York City. Thank you so much for your service. It's been a while. I haven't been on the lines. And it's a reminder that it's not just prayer and meditation and doing 10, 11, and 12. It's important that to hear the message. And I'm just grateful to be on the line and to hear this message from their story that I am not God. I'm not higher power. And is it my higher power that is keeping me abstinent, that is keeping me clean? And the more I turn to my higher power, the more I'm going to be free from this illness. And it's a daily reprieve. Every day I have to work on this. Every day. There's not a day that goes by that I could just rest on my laurels, because I'll be back in the food. And I never got that message until I saw the vision. I didn't understand what it meant. Accident, and to realize that I was trying to control everything. And the second time that I actually read it was in vision about their story. I didn't understand the first time because I was so consumed by my own selfishness and righteousness that I couldn't understand that what it meant to letting go and trusting in my higher power and having God guide me instead of me trying to control and try to be God, because I am so powerless over everything. I will never have that power that higher power has. So it's just a blessing to be free and to have all these tools available for us. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Kelly T. Roz G, followed by Kathy C. Roz?
Good morning. My name is Roz G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in North Los Angeles County. And the more and more I do my step work, the more and more I realize that I depended on so many other things besides God. Everything was dependent. A lot of my dependency was on my paycheck, my place of employment, people, myself, and all the diets and all the books and all the schemes, all those things I depended upon. And not one of those things had the power to lift me from the scrap heap, from the welfare lines, from the poverty, from my anemic body, from being so overweight. That none of it, no human aid could have done it. And as like I was saying before, the more and more I do my step work, the more and more I see how big my ego was. And it is so freeing to lay it all down and to put myself unreservedly in God's care, because there's nothing that's going to overcome, well, my eating problem and the other addictions that I have, besides the power of God, who I call my higher power. That power for me is, first of all, resides within me and is all over the place. And also, you know, I've seen people come from one place to a whole other place within these rooms. And it's not only me. And I just, you know, I need you. Every morning, I need to listen to this meeting. It keeps me going. But I know that everybody that, you know, mostly everybody that shares, the recovered people, they give their credit to God, to higher power. And then those that are new and need help, I can look back and say, okay, what can I share with this person that can help them? And it always comes down to a higher power. It's never me. It's not my ego. And when I talk to a sponsee, I ask God to speak through me, not my opinion. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz. G, before we get to Kathy C., I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're reading in Bill's story on page 11. The fourth paragraph down, had this power originated in him, and we're unpacking that one paragraph only. And after Kathy C., I'll take names of those who'd like to share. Kathy.
Hi, this is Kathy C. in Los Angeles, compulsive overeater. Thank you for letting me share, and welcome if you're new, and thanks for the shares on the line. I relate very much to this paragraph. I've had those experiences before where I've seen God through other people. Either the first time that I really did believe in God, it was through someone sharing with me how much they loved God, and I don't know if I can explain it very well, but I believed this person, and I was able to see their love for God and connect to God through their love for God, and that was kind of it for me. And then in recovery, I have been so grateful to find out that there's so much. It's absolutely true. There's so much that I cannot do, but there's nothing that God can't do if I let him. And so I just, that's a daily relief and sometimes a complete surprise when I find out I'm really holding on to an old behavior and saying unconsciously that I just can't let go of it and forgetting that of course I can't, but God can take it from me. And that's been really soothing to me lately because I'm trying all kinds of new things. My life has gotten very big in abstinence and recovery, and I don't think I can do most of them, and I can't without God. And I was reminded recently by a sponsor that I need to be making outreach calls, so I've been doing that. I've been doing 3 a day, and that I need to take God with me on those outreach calls because I can't do that by myself. And also that God speaks through other people so that, my desire to isolate and not reach out to people in programs is preventing me from, a deeper and more healthy relationship with God. With that, I pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. And I will now take names of those who'd like to share.
Clara G.
Beatrice X. C.
Beatrice O. Kara. Was it Kara, the first one? Kara G.
Clara.
Yeah, okay, K-A-R-A. Okay.
Mags C.
Roseanne. Mags.
Shannon S.
Shannon S.
Bonnie.
I didn't get that last one.
Bonnie D.
Bonnie. Okay, we'll stop there. I don't know if I have
Poquito
time for
Lopatica.
Everybody. Who is that? Okay. I have Clara. Clara G, Beatrice O, Roseanne. I didn't get your last initial. Mag C, Shannon S, and Bonnie B. You are on, Clara G.
Okay, thank you. Hi, this is Clara G. I am a compulsive overeater. And I love about this paragraph, the power doesn't originate in me. But the thing is, before program, I would pray to God, please help me keep myself in this diet so I can lose 20 pounds. And it just didn't work. What I find the most amazing in this program is that it has taught me how to access God and His power so that I can get the strength to stay in a food plan. You know, and that is to accept that I cannot do it on my own, to accept that I don't have power. The power doesn't originate in me. It originates in Him. And so if I want it, I have to accept that, I don't know why, but that's how it goes, that I have to accept that I don't have it. I have to go there and say, please, give me the power to be able to do it. And I want to do your will. I'm here to do whatever you want me to do. And it's like, this is my deal. I will do your will, and you help me. And the thing is, like, He will help me do everything that is, like, not only stop eating compulsively, but improve in all the virtues, be more honest, be more loving, be more kind, and remove the defects, which will be the opposite of those things, be self-centered, self-seeking. And in that way, I am powerful because I know how to get the power of God, you know, but He will give me the strength, but on my own, that strength doesn't originate in me. It comes from Him. And to access, I have to admit that I don't have it, that I have to go there. He gave me free will, so if I don't want it, He will not impose it on me. That's why it's super important that I want to stop eating compulsively, that I want to be a more loving person, that I want to develop all those virtues that makes me the person that He wants me to be. But He will not come and impose them onto me. So, but it's really important, those little principles, to have them straight, because before I tried to access God and I didn't have those things straight up, and it didn't work. I could never follow through, you know, losing a lot of weight and keeping it off forever. I couldn't do it because I didn't have any power to do that. But now, thanks to this program, it has helped me. You know, it gives me the key to the power, and I am super grateful. Thank you. I pass.
Ah, perfect timing, Clara. Beatrice O, followed by Roseanne, and I'll get your last initial when you come on. Beatrice.
Good morning. This is Beatrice from Los Gatos. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. So the power originated, he had this power, or what did it say, had this power originated in him is the question. So on page 45 in the big book, it says, lack of power is our dilemma. And on page 30, it says, the alcoholic never recovers control. And on page 24, it says, lost the power of choice. And, you know, if we lose power, choice, and control, those three those words are synonymous with each other. You lose power, you've lost control and choice. And if you lose control, you've lost power and choice. And if you lose choice, you lose power and control. So, and in the doctor's opinion, it tells us that we must have something other than a human power. And so what I learned is I can't have anything in this earthly world that is going to sober me up with the food. And I heard at a meeting, you know, just choose whatever you want for a higher power, just make sure it's not a doorknob because it'll turn on you. And I thought, I've tried everything that I could think of other than going to God before I got here. And You know, they said try the group, maybe a sponsor, a family. You know, the trees, the being in the wilderness. And so I've learned, and I know today that my power is a spiritual power. And the only way I was able to access that power was to put down the food. The food was a barrier to my higher power. I couldn't connect. I had to become willing to put down the food so I could actually feel that spiritual power. And in the big book, the bottom line, I guess what I want to say this morning is, you know, it says, I think it's in the doctor's opinion, it says we are a group. You must believe. You must believe in a power greater than yourself. You must believe. And so I had to be willing to believe, and I had to be willing to put the food down, and I had to be willing to accept that only a spiritual power could help me, and that is the God of my understanding, and not something of this earthly world that's going to help me. Thank you, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Beatrice. Roseanne, followed by Mag C. Roseanne, can I have your last initial, please? Roseanne, press star 1 to unmute.
Oh, sorry about that. This is Rose N. in Los Angeles.
Oh, Rose N. Okay, right. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I'm sort of new at this, so I just wanted to say that one phrase in this paragraph just jumped out at me. There was no more power in him than there was in me. And I am new at this, and I'm still working on finding a higher power, but it just... I realize that I have been looking for power in other people, places, and things. In other words, people that have no more power than I do, institutions that really don't have any power. And something somebody said triggered that in me, and it's just so amazing to me that I could read this paragraph so many times, and then all of a sudden it jumps out in me that I need something more than what I've been... what I, using my power, have been trying to do. And I looked, now I need to listen more to your shares, and we'll, that's all I really wanted to share was I realized that I have no power, and this is a big thing for me to have that understanding. So thank you for letting me share, and I'm going to pass.
Welcome. Thank you, Roseanne, and welcome. Mag C, followed by Shannon S. Mags?
Good morning, everybody, and thank you so much for being here today. This is where I hear my higher power. I back 15 years ago when I first got into program, I watched my beloved husband. The reason I got into program because I watched my husband go into program and change in mind and spirit, and I was so freaking mad because his body changed too. And I was pissed because I was paying for him to have this change. And I was still freaking crazy. I felt crazy. I didn't feel grounded or safe. And I was filled to the brim with control and perfectionism and intellect. But underneath it all, I had this horrible, abusive inner voice that criticized me so that it really wasn't any good work that I possibly could do. You know, I trivialized it. I'm like, oh, whatever. Yeah, whatever. I'm not going to accept your thanks. And then I opened my soul up to any mistakes I made as my due, since I could never remember being good enough in the first place. And I had rejected religion as a teenager because, you know, no one ever came to my help when I begged God for it. And I was deeply, deeply religious as a kid, and I lost it because I never got taken out of that home. But as a young child in a dysfunctional, chaotic childhood, I had to accept coming into this program and working these steps was that number one, I'm not a bad kid, and I never was. I'm a child of this universe, just like everybody else. But I am responsible for my adult actions that are harming myself and my family with food and stuffing my emotions and playing small in this world instead of believing in me, body, spirit, and mind. I didn't just hurt myself. I hurt other people. So I am finally learning after many years, 15 years in this program, I am learning to not trivialize my home life, how it was, but I'm also not helpless anymore. Yeah, I've provided myself a safe home, a safe and loving spouse, a therapist, and I've come into these rooms. But, and here I am secure and I am safe. And it's time now to actually love who I am, to respect this body that I have tortured all my life. And time to set that yearning to action, to search for this higher power that I really believe is absolutely essential to this wholeness that I'm seeking in my soul. And really change my perception of myself and have this program be lasting and not just fitful, you know, moments of peace and calm. And I do have days of peace and calm. Thank you. And I do have loving and compassion through yoga, through this program. And I think it's actually going to happen. I have hope. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mag C. Shannon S. Followed by
Thank
Bonnie
you so
D.
much. Thank you so much. This is Shannon Asa. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and anorexic in New York. And, man, this talk about power. I grew up in a very dysfunctional household, and control was, like, all I got. So I grew up and still, I mean, I struggle with control. It can be so subtle. And I just was reflecting on the fact that, you know, like, I tend to try to exert power where it's not mine to assert. And then I tend to not own my power, and exert that, in my life on the things that I can change. Or as Bill says, we can exert, you know, all of our will on turning over our lives to the care of God. And so just that flip-flop of the power and control. And I love in this program, it's like, you know, you give up and you win. You surrender and then you gain power. And through the brokenness of my disease and everything, and when I truly met a higher power and when I continue to meet that higher power, because that's for me on a moment-by-moment, hour-by-hour basis, then through the weakness in me, I'm pointed toward a source of strength and a source of wisdom and direction. And right now I am going through a period where I actually have been very sick. And I have some things that are kind of chronic, and I am following up with that. But I've needed to look at my food plan and make some changes for health reasons. And I'm finding it's really shaking things up quite a bit for me. And so this talk about power is so important. And I'm really trying to bring God in by sharing this with other people and, you know, praying before a meal. It's like I'm back at, you know, step zero when I'm just implementing a new abstinence. And just praying and just asking God, you know, please show me the direction and please make it enough and please show me what to do. And even though it's very humbling and uncomfortable, I think that it's really great because that's essential for me in order to stay right-sized. Thanks, I'll pass.
Thank you, Shannon S. And I will, Bonnie B. Bonnie, I thought I heard a Bonnie B. Press star 1 to unmute. Can't hear you.
Good morning, Bonnie D. in California.
Thank
you,
Bonnie.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You're on.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, this power that does not originate in me, that's a really big subject. I've been blessed with difficulties and strife and reaching out for my own answers. Now, that was for a cure, and I had to find that was futile. For so long, my ego said, I can do anything. With ego, the futile idea comes up, and self-will is magnified. But my stinking thinking couldn't let me see that. As I began the 12-step road of living, step one really befuddled me. I denied the unmanageability, as in step one. I was managing pretty well. Recognizing adversities, recognizing these things as opportunities, I grew in the belief. The belief that's like stated in the end of our preface in the big book. So free will, when I'm in alignment with my higher power, recovered, that is magnified. But I know that resentments still occur, ideas, these type of ideas. I may wake with a dream of anger or fear or working things out deep inside. Before my feet hit the ground, I pray to my higher power. I believe this higher power is love. God is love. Then I have the assuring notion of a stronger faith and belief. I know that I have been forgiven and forgive. I make amends within the safety of a loving God. For me, how God's power works, I know I have a tendency to get off the beam with my own thinking, so I don't follow that. I immediately give my power to my higher power. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Bonnie D. And we have about time for one more share if someone would like to share.
This is Julie E.B.
All right, Julie, you all have it. Julie E.B., thank you.
Yeah, I just want to say I tried so hard to work with a power that was generated from in myself. And for me, a lot of that looks like perfectionism. And a lot of that looks like the perfect food plan. I could, at certain points, lose tons of weight perfectly looking on the outside like I was doing everything right. But inside, it was all crazy. And here we have a higher power that wants to work from the inside out. And when I'm trying to originate that power myself, generate it, usually I would do that growing up from fear. I had to do perfectly so I could get out of the house and get my own life. Or I do it through shame. I'm just not good enough. I would terrorize myself. I'd be angry, like, come on, you can do it. And those are all the voices that I use to generate power in my life. And living out of love, like, oh, you really messed this up yesterday, but today you get to try again. We're working towards spiritual progress, not perfection. That's onward movement towards a goal. Every day I'm on this planet, I'm making onward movement towards a goal of happy usefulness, not of being amazing and perfect and awesome and wonderful, even though that's what I still strive for sometimes, and not about being nobody and nothing and I just don't even deserve a spot. This power sneaks in and whispers, you know, beneath my whole life, you are precious. You are not a sum of what you've done. or where you are right now. You are growing, unfolding child of the universe, and you are just on this earth no better than, no worse than anyone else. And this is a power greater than me. And I get to look at other people's lives. Where could I help them? Where can I not be self-centered? And where could I be thinking of the needs of others and working for them? Where could I not be self-seeking? Where could I be in altruism, giving without expecting a return? And then I'm not grasping at life all the time. I'm settling back into it. And so this is still a daily work for me, even if the food is quiet today for a day. So far, thank you, God, and for so many days before it. But still my character defects rise up, and I need to just hand them over to my higher power and not do a self-improvement program any more than I did a diet for the first half of the program. It's no self-improvement program. It's just God in me saying, you are precious, unique, beautiful. You are who you need to be. You are who your family needs. You are who those in your job needs. And even though that's not all that you think you should be every day, it's enough for me. I am the problem, and God loves me anyway. Thanks for letting me share my task.
Thank you, Julie E.B. That brought us right to 10 till the hour. So thank you all for your shares. And for those who gave service to Team Thursday, Rachel P., Libby E., Ellen D., Robin Joe B., and Pia S. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Robin Joe B. please read a vision for you?
Yep, here I am. Robin Joe B. from Missouri, recovered overeater, and all by God's grace and for his glory. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.